Oh, he's recording. Okay, then.
Oh, start God, over. My chipmunk voice is going to be on tape?
Can we start? Oh, we're good to start. So, do you? Hi, I'm Dana.
Hi, Dana.
She's a musher.
I'm a musher, and I've had this addiction problem for several years now. I really have no idea what I'm doing up here, so please bear with me if things, like, come to a grinding halt.
These
are two of the three people that were going to be joining us. This is Phoenix. This is Jessica. Y'all can tell people where you guys play or if you do or do not choose to. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Me? Oh, heck yeah. I play on the Pern games, and I play on the X-Men games, and I hang out on From the Ashes.
I play on Dark Wine and Roses, and I hang out on The Dreaming because I refuse to play there, and also on Do Rewards. And, what else? On a mush that hasn't opened yet, come to think of it. And The Endless.
And I play on Project Infinity, Dune 3, numerous other mushes because I am pretty much a role-playing whore, but other than that...
No!
You?
Pern mush!
Never.
Yeah. Anyway, we were going to basically just do a lot of topic discussion type stuff and then probably reserve like maybe the last 20-30 minutes for people to get a chance to go around and go, "Hi, I play here and here and here. Where do you play?" So that's pretty much what we're going to do.
Have I slept with your character?
And that seems that's into a great topic. Why don't
I introduce myself? Oh, yeah. I slept with your character last week.
Just out of curiosity, how many people here are, like, mutters? Oh, you poor folks. How many people here are mushers? Or, like, mush, like role play as opposed to, like, the kill, the hot kill thing?
Okay. Okay. How many of you have hacked the server? People from God, like, you know, you just gotta leave.
Probably a good general topic to start on would be consent. Does anybody have any particularly strong feelings about the issue of consent in roleplay, whether or not certain mushes need to have consent rules, certain mushes shouldn't?
We have a comment from Max in the back.
Oh my God, you're bald.
The greeting. Now they just fall out.
Anyway, my particular view is while consent is a really nice thing and a wonderful idea, so is dominance.
And that doesn't always work either.
Is there a certain amount of, does it have to be extreme? Is it either no consent or consent solely? Can there be a middle ground? People are going to be bumping.
Check, check. Oh, there we go. Yes. How's that for godlike? I'm of the opinion that any moo at all, especially mushes, though, especially when you're dealing with roleplay stuff, moo. I think that anyone that has lasted any significant period of time has come to some sort of middle ground because, as you said, the ones with no consent at all tend to fall apart for the obvious reasons, and the ones with too much consent tend to fall apart pretty much for the same reasons.
Susan, behind you.
Turn.
There you go. I think, you know, I don't play generally on other kinds of places. I am a Perner. I am not
nothing wrong
terribly
with that.
Ashamed
nothing
of this
wrong with
fact.
That,
but I think, you know, on a lot of other places, I know that things are different. I think Pern, non-consent is never going to work because it's just not designed for any sort of combat. I mean, there's... interpersonal conflict in general is generally frowned upon, although I don't agree with that part. But if Pern started getting into non-consent, then you would have big issues, I think, because just that would be like almost encouraging.
I have one right now.
Almost encouraging people to start getting into more fights than they were, you know, originally and so on. But I think, you know, that's Pern as a theme in itself, and I think, you know, that can't be taken as for any other, you know, theme.
Yeah, my impression of Pern is basically Pern is about humanity against its environment, not humanity against humanity. So the idea is that it's supposed to be working under a cooperative basis rather than a conflicting basis between groups. But what about places like
World of Darkness
or superheroes, the X-Men games, stuff
like
that?
People have a tendency to say, oh, well, I'm going to do this to your character, and then as soon as they find out that they're about to die, they say, wait, no, I take it back.
So that's why you have all the traits system, so you can read what the other character is capable of doing. And then you can expect, okay, if you're fighting somebody who is on the level of Galactus, you're going to get your butt squished. So you just go into it knowing where you're going to go, and
that
you know, when the blood starts running,
yeah,
it's all good.
That doesn't always work, though, because...
It doesn't really, because if you have... There's one of the X-Men games, I'm not going to mention it by name, because I like it, actually, where they have a super-powered character who can kidnap anybody, and they do the whole bondage thing, which I know a couple of you guys back there would really like to go hang out with. But
except
people don't want to have their characters kidnapped or brainwiped or whatever, and I think they should have the right to absent themselves in a reasonable manner. I think the issue with consent is the people who have abused the idea of consent, you know, the ones that we label twinks, the nice creamy feeling people. See, consent with mature individuals is like, well, I don't want my character to go here, but maybe there's somewhere else that the character can go. But it's always about out-of-character communication. Talk to the other players out of character and find out, okay, well, this is maybe where we're going to go. Is this okay with you? You know, just ask somebody first.
Can I just add one? I think if somebody came up on a Pern game and posed, like, you know, attacking your character and someone, and you hadn't talked about it ahead of time, people would just laugh at you, you know? It would just be like comedy, you know? Nobody would take it even seriously, so I don't, you know?
Well, I think that's a little bit different. The Pern games, because it's not really about people trying to kick each other's butts.
Well, actually, about the people abusing consent. I mean, I know on Dark Wine and Roses, the face beer, with the exception of a few people, we generally, like, we'll have conflict. I mean, hell, I play Kyle on the game. Countless times, a certain character has had me up by the throat, you know, things like that. And as long as people are mature about it, then consent works, or even non-consent works.
There's even the issue of you can accept the consequences, but you don't want to role-play them out.
And then you can use
the
fade to black.
Situations where someone will be, well, you know, I'll accept the consequence. You know, my character's wearing a tight mini skirt and, like, you know, a see-through shirt, and she walks into a dark alley in the middle of the around the corner from the Elysium, and oh my goodness, there's a Sabbat pack around the corner. Well, okay, I will accept the consequences of the fact that this is what I did. I don't want to role-play this experience, but I will accept the fact and role-play that and role-play the aftermath of this out from that point. And I can sort of,
okay,
I can buy into that.
I have to admit, I'm kind of weird. I like to role-play out the consequences.
Yeah, but you're sick.
Yes, I'll agree with this, but, you know, if there's something that's going to happen, I want to know exactly what it is, because if I don't know what it is, how do I know how to react to it?
Good point.
And precisely, I mean, then again, you have people who are basically, well, we have a plethora of them on Do Rewards. They
use plethora.
They are the
plethora. Use this word in a sentence.
Well,
she just
so
did.
we have so many of these walking victims. They'll have victim up in a neon blinking sign. Take advantage of, and they'll walk around and out of character, ask people to victimize them, and it's like, what is wrong with you? You know, again, there's always abuses.
Like, so says the same person who spent all her willpower not to tell the vampires who had that about the changelings and reaped the consequences thereof.
Hey,
all
right.
Children,
not my
take
character.
Your personal issues to
oh, no,
Sally
I,
Jesse
I was
Raphael.
No, I was appreciating that.
I voted Jerry Springer myself.
When mushes go bad.
Yeah.
An interesting topic that I wanted to bring up, talking about, like, victims and such like that, what are people's opinions of, say, the issues of cross-gender role-play and how males and females take playing other characters?
Oh,
any comments on that?
I think it sucks. Actually, that's not true. Sometimes it does.
Okay, yeah. I play primarily guys, which I know is very twisted, but it started out originally because I was actually...
So are you.
Yes, we all know that.
Aren't we all?
You're wearing a beanie.
It started out, though, because I started out when I was 14, and I was absolutely violently paranoid of being hit on by games because, of course, I had been, you know, my fiancé at the time, well, not 14, I started, my parents at that point, fiancé came later, but they warned me,
anyway.
They warned me, don't be careful because there are people out there, and they'll say things, and they want you, and they're going to be evil. And so anybody who came up to me and waved, and they were high, and they were of the wrong gender, I panicked. So I played a guy because if you play a guy on Mushes, people ignore you. It's really, really cool.
True. This is
so recorded. I started that out, and then later, because most of the games that I play on are primarily female only, you somebody's got to play the guys, and I got stuck on it. And once you get stuck on it, I've been doing it for years now. I'm a reasonably normal. Not normal, but I'm a woman. I don't even remember how to play women anymore.
Second from the back, or second from the front, rather. I'm trying to go in order of hands popping up.
I played on until just recently, Mud, and I was one of the Immortals on, and I play a name that has a very, it's not gender specific, and most of the players immediately assumed I'm male. And within, 10 days of one of the new Immortals finding out that I was female, he was hitting on me all over the place, even though everyone knew that the imp was my boyfriend. And it's very interesting how it happens is immediately, you know, you come on, you play, you know what you're doing, they assume you're male.
They got slayed a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, the slay button did get used a bit.
Just a tad.
Buttons are fun.
But it was just amazing that the assumption was immediately made, if you know what you're doing on a Mud, you're male.
Yeah.
Go for the bald guy.
Wonderful.
Are you getting comfortable with the mic?
I'm loud enough without the mic. I'm currently a wizard on a game called Fearon. It's an original fantasy game, and it's all pre-generated characters. And we have a general policy when it comes to cross-gender roleplay, which is, if you want to, okay. It's frowned upon, but at the same time, it's not restricted. I've always found that I really can't get into the mindset of a female character. I'm not a woman. I don't know how women think. Hell, I barely know how other men think. But I can figure out my own thought processes for the most part, and I really think that that does account for the majority of people. But you're always going to get the exceptions, the people who, regardless of their gender, happen to play the other gender very well. So it's really not something that I feel that you can restrict. Because if you do, you're closing off an entire avenue of creativity for some people who are just better that way.
I know Dana knows past characters of mine that I've played and whatnot. But basically, I mean, I don't play what I play. I do tend to play female characters that play either or. But people say I do better in one, better in another. It's the challenge that I play it for. It's not for the, ooh, it's this or that. It's something different that I'm not every day. It gives me a chance to open my mind to different things. That's the whole reason I do what I do.
Red PK jacket guy.
The guy I'm holding the mic is
Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Now, I've noticed that even on the more hack and slash, there's less role-playing involved. A lot of males tend to play females because you'd be amazed how twinked you can get in the first 5 minutes of people figuring out you're a female and you will get stuff. Because I am the imp on a unofficial Squaresoft Mud.
Oh, cool.
Hey, power to the
people. It's actually quite a decent Mud, but anyway. It's very hack and slash. There's very little role-playing. The people who do role-play actually usually get laughed at. But since the PK is limited, you actually have to turn it on yourself. There's usually not a problem with that. But the twinking involved is very high when you're found out that you're either a female or people think you are. I've gotten in trouble quite a few times because my name appears female. So...
It also really depends on the genre of game that you're playing. For instance, all the Pernies is going to laugh. I would say off the Pern Mush database, most of the guys are played by women and vice versa. It's a toss-up as to whether what gender any given character's player is. Just take a guess and you're probably right.
Yeah, actually, that was the point that I was about to make, is the a lot of the games where I do play male characters, it's because the males have much more in terms of role-play opportunities. Like, Dana and I are on a Victorian adventure game, and you know, set in 1888 London. And if you're a female, well, you're kind of screwed. You're either, like, you know, the maid, or else you're the heiress, you know. And it just gets boring. And the same for, we're also in a Dune game, where, again, women have very limited opportunities in what they can do in that sort of character situation. So sometimes it's just more fun.
Yeah, you know? The Pern canon has its inherent problem in that the author writes it so that the women characters are the more powerful in her society, and therefore the guys are going to play the Gold Rider character, try to play the Gold Rider characters, and they're going to be women playing bronzes just because it's different and it's something fun to do.
All right, on the same line as what he was saying about the hack and slash modes with the female interaction, I play a mod called Medivia. Well, there's been many, many, many instances of men playing female characters so they can latch onto powerful characters to get equipment. Yes. You know, I was playing around one day, and I found this picture of this woman, right, on some site, right? So I uploaded it to the player picture page, and I started telling people I was female. And it sort of kind of changed my perspective. You know, people, like, tried to contact me.
What she was talking about, the kind of harassment type of thing.
I have a greater respect for anyone who can put up with that. Oh, man. No idea.
One of the things, you know, of course, I play Pern, which is overwhelmingly player-based, any, you know, in terms of the players female, although the characters, some places seem to be more balanced than others in terms. But what I've noticed is that in a lot of cases, people on games that are skewed, role-play games, not like hack and slash stuff, because I at least assume that such things are not as much of an emphasis on those games. But on role-play places, if there's like overwhelmingly one gender, people tend to like put their characters in relationships. That's something that happens in real life. And, you know, even if you don't, you know, do the whole tiny sex thing or whatever, you know, still a lot of people like having their characters with significant others, and they get married and they have kids and all of these things. Well, if you're playing on a game that is 99% female and you want to play a straight character, So a lot of people will switch genders and so on in order to do that, or they will play sexual orientations, which are not the same as their
what
in
about
real
the,
life.
It's like an X-Men game. Like, for instance, there's one called Marvel Unlimited, where most of the female, there's like a clique of female characters. We think most of them are played by men, and they're the bondage gang that you guys want to go hang out with.
Yeah. What about the characters who the people who play the opposite gender character and then play that character as appreciating the same gender, not necessarily because they are playing a character that is appreciative of the same gender, but because they can't cope with the fact that this character would be oriented in a heterosexual fashion.
So you get a lot more on some, you know, I think of more in the Pern games, of women playing men, and the funny thing is that they frequently play, like, more attractive men because they have some idea what the women are actually looking for. And so the best male character I have ever seen in my life was Tance on Crystal Mush, and he was played by a girl, and he was just absolutely fantastic because he didn't do the whole big macho I can beat up everybody in the game thing. He had this character who was he was old, which is not a thing that you frequently run into on, you know, Crystal, because it basically people, you know, stay young almost forever. And he was vulnerable, you know, and he was absurdly popular. He had like every girl in the game hitting on him.
Now, for the most part, I actually like people who can actually do a good cross-gender, because I admire somebody who can role-play that well. But I have to admit, because I'm on a lot of World of Darkness mushes, a lot of what I've seen is men who like to play women so that they can have lesbian sex.
Yeah, that's
Japanese.
And I've seen a lot of it.
And I am a girl.
Schoolgirl.
I feel, you know, like
Japanese schoolgirl. Oh, my
Japanese
God.
Japanese schoolgirls. Okay.
Yes, well,
being guilty party of those who play of the opposite gender who also are attracted to their same gender.
Kyle is bi.
Yeah, well, he's a knocker. They get whatever sex they can get. Courtly fucking love in the knocker kith fuck, all I have to say. But honestly, some people can pull it off. Other people are just doing it for, like, some sort of weird, playing out some sort of weird fantasy of theirs. Or I don't know. It's a whole, again, it's a maturity thing. It's like the maturity, the level of maturity of the people you play with. Other than that, you're going to have lots of problems.
Personally, I always love watching a girl who I know is played by a guy going after another girl who I also know is played by a guy.
We're going to take a last...
And then they find out and they freak out. So. Yeah.
I think we're going to take a last couple of comments on this topic, and then we're probably going to move to something else, because we could probably take the whole time discussing this.
I play on the chaos side of Amber Mush. And,
Yay, chaos.
Woohoo! And there are three or four people that I know of whose characters have advanced shape-shifting, which allows them to play either or. There's a player that I've played with closely, and I do not know if the player is male or female, but when...
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't. And here's the point. But he or she does it so well that when that character is male, it's male to me, and when he or she is playing female, it's female, because they're able to split it, and they got sort of the same personality but different aspects, and it's just very well done. And I think that that's a really interesting way to do that. It gives you the chance to play whichever one. You just honestly log onto the Mush, effectively wake up one morning and say, "Hey, I'm male," and just go with it.
So way in the back.
Way in the back.
Oh, it's trying to get an order.
Oh, okay.
It's been a while since I've, been on a Mush. I went. I actually went to the graphics, Evercrack and everything like that after. But, when I started, I would play a female character because that was a fictional character, and that was the character that I decided to create and play. And when I had the opportunity to put a description there, I would put it, "I'm a guy playing a girl." And if somebody decided to hit on me, well, it was, their fault to get what they got for not reading in the first place. So.
Good policy. Did you have a final comment?
I had a comment earlier.
Okay.
There was the comment made about female characters getting more attention on especially hack and slash MUDs. The interesting thing is I have an exact opposite example of that. The MUD that I worked on for quite a while had a female imp. Well, all the guys on the imp, or on the MUD, hit on the female imp. And if there was a good guy on the MUD who got her attention, he got everything. Mm. Power levels, attention, everything. It was very interesting to see it happen. And then we ended up with a predominantly female immortal base. And that just went bad.
A whole bunch of uber twinked player males.
Yeah, you're one of them.
I was the only male imp.
I was going to go ahead and take this to staffers and admin. What makes a good staffer? What makes a poor staffer? And I'm sure there's...
I can start this one off. A poor staffer is somebody who's going to sit there and change the rules because they've been running tabletop for the entire time, and they stop and think, "Hey, I'm just going to change rules and not tell anybody, and then screw everybody up." Oh, yeah.
Not on some places.
It did happen, though.
Oh, yeah.
And also, pay attention to story continuity, because if you ignore all the story that's going on, why the hell are you there?
Anyway, my name's Sam. I'm a storyteller on New Bremen for White Wolf's World of Darkness chat. And personally, I feel that one of the best qualities is just being able to be fair and impartial no matter what. We've had problems in the past where certain players were friends with certain storytellers and they were able to play True Bruja or Abomination or anything else that wasn't allowed. But you have to be able to just keep yourself separated from everything else. You also have to be able to communicate with your team members and work with them. You don't have to agree with them, but you just have to work with them.
Which What do you mean I can't play my Shadow Lord Salubria Revenant Abomination?
You can try. I'll kill it.
I think that in certain younger players, less mature players, their idea of being staff is to be there so they can get the uber-powerful characters, the cool characters. I'm going to start a game so I can get something of my own that somebody else would not give me. And that's one thing most... Yeah, we've all been there. We've done that. We've
actually moved
on.
I've seen some older players doing that, too.
Well, you know. Go on.
Well, this is coming more or less from someone who hasn't been a faction head, admin, or staff, really. But really, in my honest opinion, what makes a good staffer, a good admin, is someone who can put in the hour time on the game to make sure that the twink levels, the abuse of powers, and other things like that are kept to a bare minimum and all, because it's the twinks, it's the abuse of power, it's on a consent game, the people who do things they shouldn't do and then don't accept the consequences of the actions that ruins the games for those people who want to get on and actually enjoy the game.
You know, I have had my fair share of problems with bad staffers in my time. I have had more than my fair share of problems with bad staffers in my time. You know, the one really good example I could pull up is not here because she has a Babylon 5 panel. But what strikes me is the whole favoritism thing, and it's the worst is when it's favoritism and you can't see that it's favoritism. Giving somebody something because, you know, they're your friend or whatever, and not making it clear that they're your friend. Because in some cases, you know, if you know somebody in real life or something, you may know that that person is really great at something where, you know, where they're, like, new in the game or whatever. And, you know, I can see that, you know, if you are familiar with a person...
You trust them.
Yeah, and so, you know, giving a friend a staff bit or something, you know, if you have been acquainted with them for a while, you know how to work with them, all of this stuff. And so that's one thing. But be open about it. Do not put your significant other into a staff position and then don't, you know, not tell the entire game that you're going out. Especially because when those kinds of relationships break up, it's really, really bad.
Well... One of my recent examples of a bad staffer just highlighted to me the one thing you have to be able to do is if you're the head wizard or god or whatever, you have to trust your staff. You don't give them the bits if you don't believe that they're not going to abuse them. You don't give them the, you know, shell access. You don't give them anything until and unless you're 100% sure that they're not going to abuse it, because if you can't trust them, you need to be able to trust your staff. And that means if you can trust them and you can demonstrate to other people on the game that you trust them and why you trust them, then your players are going to trust them to come to them as an intermediary between you and the rest of the just to keep everything on an open, you know, on a level keel.
Well, on my home game, which is Frostfire, it's a Pern game, but it is fairly well known that I am a little more in the know than most people. I am friends with several of the staff members. I don't keep this secret in any way, shape, or form. I mean, to one of, you know, I am in fact have you know pointed out on public channels and so on that I am the voice of reason in one of their lives, because every time she starts like veering off towards something nonsensical, I'm the one who waves my arms around and says, no, if you do this, I'm going to hurt you. But it is important, you know, to if there is any personal relationship between you and anybody you're giving anything to, even if it seems small, make it known. Don't you know, think that nobody's going to notice or nobody's going to care or that it'll be better if they don't know, because it won't.
It will get out.
Right.
Somebody will find out and we'll tell everybody.
Yes, I'm back again. A lot of good things have been pointed out already. Attention to detail, being unbiased, putting in the time. But one of the things that I've noticed in the times that I have been whizzing, preface this by stating that every single game, with the exception of one that I've whizzed on, has closed within 3 months of me becoming a wizard. I'm reluctant to take bits, to say the least, but the one example that I've seen which is not collapsed in on its own weight is the one that I'm working on now, and what's... No, I'm not counting FTA.
They never open again.
Exactly. But one of the things that has really made a difference as far as I can tell, two issues. One, a chain of command, a reasonable chain of command. One of the things that we have on Furin, which is the game that I currently whiz on, is... What, I'm not allowed to get a free plug?
No, that wasn't it.
Stop peeing on your game.
Use a different verb, please. Adminned on would be a better.
Ah. The game that I'm currently staff on.
Yes, we know him.
We've got a very distinct chain of command. There are two co-gods, some senior wizards, full wizards, junior wizards, trainee wizards, and also some people who've put in a lot of time to the game but can't really put in the time that's necessary to be a wizard, who get an honorary wizard bit. Everyone works on everything. It's the other issue. Specialization kills. We're not ants. We're humans. Knowing a little bit about everything in the game, from the theme to how the code works to how to build rooms, it's all important.
Because if you need to talk to your code wizard and he's in Australia and you're in Britain, you're never going to see this guy unless
Precisely.
One of you guys decides to become nocturnal.
Mm-hmm. And it's a matter that you reach where if you don't understand at least a little bit about how the code works, you're not really understanding the totality of the game. You're understanding one facet of the overall picture. And it just doesn't pay off. And you get into situations where everyone on the staff is so focused on their one aspect that that becomes the most driving thing for them.
And if something happens to them, you're screwed.
Exactly.
Well, one of the things I wanted to mention about adminning is your relationship to the players. It's not just everything around you. It's the needing to build the trust of your players in yourself. And by doing that, being open and, yes, being unbiased is good, but also being friendly in a very general way is very helpful for getting people to know you, to trust you, to... lead them, show them how things work if they have problems. Trust is a very big part of the admin thing. People don't trust you, they won't listen to you. And well, it's really not the admin who have power, but the players who have power. It's my biggest point there.
Well, hi.
Hello.
Well, actually, she kind of took my thing there, but I have another one. Besides being just plain friendly, I believe, especially in games like The World of Darkness, where people attempted to bring in that six-rank Aslanite, you know, abomination from hell, you know, people, I believe what's important, as well as rules, being able to storytell well as keep within canon material, because if everything is that special thing that, you know, White Wolf says no, you know, it stops being special. But I believe best example of, well, actually, that'll take too long to explain. So I'll just
moving along. Run, 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 Forrest, run.
I hate that movie.
So do I.
One of the things that I think is most important about staffing is that you have to understand when you should be involved and when you shouldn't be involved. And there's a lot of times when staffers think just because they're there, they need to be doing something, and that they should always be active doing something. And that really, to a large extent, is a self-defeating issue, because then everyone's going to start expecting you to be there for everything, and you're good players, the people that really want to be independent and really want to role play on their own and don't want a judge coming in telling them, you know, do X, Y, Z, they're going to be upset and they're going to leave. And the players that do, you know, depend on someone else to provide that oversight are never going to grow and learn to take that oversight.
In other words, it's a question of role play R-O-L-E versus role play R-O-L-L.
To a large extent.
If you want to just roll the dice and, yeah, have staff there all the time.
Right, but to a large extent it is, but yeah. you could just as easily code a system to do that. You don't need staffers to do that. And staffers really need to understand when they don't need to be involved. Because there's always this temptation, you know, you see people out there, and generally it's not the easy stuff that when, you know, someone is screwing around or, you know, shooting people in the middle of an intersection or something and you want to step. That's one thing. But it's those things that bother you but really aren't your business. Like if you see a bunch of people, you know, male and female in a room, you know, and that you know is not supposed to be used for that purpose, it's really not your business unless someone else is trying to get in that room.
Well, from a more hack and slash point of view, because there's really not as much RP on mine, we tend to try to keep the immortals split, and they don't get to use their player characters again until they've proved that they can actually code again. They have to be at least senior rank or above in order to actually get a player character back. But when I became an actual admin on the MUD, I found out just how much of the stuff that all the wizards do is logged. We have tons of logging materials. You go into edit, you're logged. You clone something, you're logged. So we tend to catch a lot of the stuff that's given away, and they're busted for it. Our MUD will not allow the wizard player interaction, with the exception of harmless items like little dolls, stuffies, you know, stuff that can't actually inflict upon their gameplay. But the biggest problem is when we have somebody go rogue, going to suicide in the next 5 minutes, goes and scrambles everybody's stats who's online, and kills himself. We've had that happen before. It's a mess. We had to go back to a backup. But, yeah. Yeah, I forgot what else I was going to say. I'll probably remember it in a couple minutes.
Yeah, what that guy's talking about over there, it reminds me of a story from a MUD I've been playing, Medivia, as I mentioned earlier. My clan was running a zone, right? It's a fairly high-level zone, right? And they're fighting this mobile to get its equipment. And there was some, like, rules debate about who should have the keys for the zone. So the other people wanting to run the zone called a god in to investigate, right? And they trans themselves into the room with the mobile, right? And they were a really low-level god. They weren't even supposed to be there. Their privileges weren't to enforce things. And while they were in the room, the mobile had a particular quality of doing a spell that attacked everything in the room. So the god was in the room, and it got attacked. And then the mob was dead. It was a very hard mob, see? And that particular god was removed. I mean, the administration of games like that are... Medivia, as an example, is very structured. Every command, as he said, is basically logged. If anybody does anything, it's reported. We've had bunches of problems with, like, in the earlier days, when some very powerful gods would load items for players and just rain them from the skies. Mm-hmm. Because they were dissatisfied with some change that the other members of the game had made.
Okay.
And it just royally screwed everything up.
We'll take, I think, two or three more comments on this and then maybe change subject.
Yeah. I just wanted to expand on what she was saying before about trust. I also think that the admin needs to have respect for their players. I play on a MUD where there is one admin. He's a coder, he's an enforcer, that's it. And it's very difficult when he might go off on an out-of-character rant for somebody. The problem is it's a great code base and it's a great player base, so people go there, right? This one admin sometimes goes slightly psycho on people. It makes it very difficult to continue playing. then this one admin can also bring it into, because he controls all the, you know, NPC gods, all the NPC guild masters, can bring this in into in character. And so I think that admins just, they need to trust their player base, and they need to respect the player base, because the players are there, yes, because they did a good job, but hey, you know, if they're assholes, they're going to lose all their players, and it's got to go both ways.
Okay. I think we're doing, like, maybe two more, and then I think we're going to move on.
These have had their hands up, like, forever.
Oh. Actually, Marnie's had her hand up forever, actually. Right. I think Marnie way and then these two ladies.
I kind of tend to disagree. I've staffed on a number of places, and while I understand that staffers have to have a respect for their players, I am not unbiased. There are some players who consistently prove that they are not intelligent enough to handle the part that they've been given.
Amen.
That's where your application staff comes in on these superhero games. Try to get the decent players in. That way you don't have to kick them out later on. That is true. I mean, there's no perfect system for, you know, picking a player. You just have to pray to your favorite deity.
I'm going to go again with what she was saying. It's nice to be nice to your players. It's nice to have respect for your players. It's nice to trust your players. But you've got to learn how to say no.
No.
Yes.
Because, again, what has made the mud that he and I both worked on crumble is an imp that can't say no. We took out a huge chunk of the code that was causing infinite problems. It was the clan base code. It was causing more game imbalances than anything else in the entire game. We took it out. We scrapped it. Said, this is not working. We did a pee wipe. We had to do a pee wipe just to get rid of everything. People screamed bloody murder. It was, oh my God, you took away my clan. We paid so much money for it, yada, yada, yada. And installed this crappy religion system, which didn't get installed all the way, but that's another story. But it was just, it was a continual stream from about four players who had been the heads of probably the worst of the clans about how they wanted their clans back and how it was a travesty that they had lost it. And our head imp
invites them to make their own game if they damn well want to. You know?
We kept saying that, but we were, anyway. Finally, the head imp gave up and brought back clans. I left before that. Yeah. I don't want to deal with it anymore.
I guess the other issue I have is with staffers who are able to be flexible and patient with players, because I basically had a scene recently where the admin had created a scene where we were supposed to go do something, and when the players went, no, that's, the characters went, no, that's suicidal. We're not going to do that. We're going to go to the other here. The staffer basically threw up his hands in a fit of pique and left the scene. And we were all sitting there going, what are we supposed to do now? What, huh? I was sitting here just going, I can't believe that. I wouldn't take that from a player, let alone a staffer. That, you know, it's not all just table topping. You have to be willing to when, you know, these online games have to be more flexible. Because it's not three of you around a table going, you really do want to go in that dungeon door, but really? Okay. Yeah, so I guess
you got to be willing to compromise. I mean, you may have this idea that you love to death and you think, oh, this is going to kick some major butt and this will be so great for the game. But if your other staffer is like, well, no, we need to do this. You know, it's like politics, you know. You have to incorporate other people's ideas so it's inclusive for them, and just try to work out a mesh that will work for everybody, and it's really hard.
Confidentiality. Oh, when a player comes up to you and talks to you about a problem, it doesn't matter if your very best bosom buddy is on that game. You have no right to go talking to that person. You may think they may not tell anyone, but it is really, really bad for morale for players, and especially when it gets around, when suddenly other people on that game hear about that problem. So one of your responsibilities as your admin is, no matter how juicy the gossip, you are not to spread that around. If it needs to be kept within the admin base, it needs to be dealt with right there and there alone. And that's part of being, that goes beyond that. That's part of managing anything.
And that's not, it's even for like a confidential situation. It's if somebody, you know, voices an opinion about another player amongst the admin base,
It shouldn't leave.
It should stay there. It's meant to stay there. It's not meant to be passed around, and that's something that has caused a lot of problems on games I've been on, is that things are given to people who are need to know it, and it's not to be spread to non-admin people, and suddenly people know, and you know right where it came from because you can trace.
That's the only person you talk to, and suddenly everybody knows. It's like, oh, hey, well, Last one on this.
Real quick here, and I'm sure everybody can agree with this. Two words. Players whine. They all whine. If you make any changes, they will complain, no matter what it is.
You can't please everybody.
You will never please them all. It's impossible.
But my thought on that is, if you have a solid core of people whose opinions you trust and value and whatever,
right.
Work on those people, and other people who like your ideas will stay, and people who don't like your ideas will go someplace else, because it's not like this is the only place you can do something. People will make their own game, and at some point you just have to cut the ties and say, look, okay, we're not going to go there. You know, invite them to do it someplace else, and because you can agree to disagree at some point. You're just going to have to say, look. You know?
Scarily enough, there's a slight difference. Our mud is actually one of the only muds out there based on Squaresoft. There's like two that I know of. Eternal Fantasy, UOSS. People end up on one or the other.
And in some canon, the controlling party of the, like, if there's a pre-existing canon like Kern, she says, okay, no more, because she's gotten tired of having to deal with all the people going to her and saying, I don't want to do that. And, you know, all the whiners went to her, and she just, you know, did us wrong, the rest of us. And so we just have to try to play nice.
Does anybody want to keep going? Or we basically have an opportunity to take the rest, the next, I guess, 45, maybe 30 minutes or so, and, like, kind of let people, like, bump into each other and talk about, like, you know, in smaller groups, or, like, you know, find out who plays. Is everyone
the peanut gallery back there, Sherry?
Do we want to keep talking, or do we want a peanut gallery?
It's fun bashing annoying players.
How about bashing annoying staffers who decide, oh, I'm going to log into the shell and destroy the game? That's
so. Is the consensus?
This is why you have backups, and you have at least one staff who knows how to fix it.
Is the consensus for peanut gallery for meet and greet, or is the consensus to keep going?
Meet and greet.
Let's meet and greet, kids.
Woo!
I think they're asking us that we, if we could just make sure that we clear out maybe about 10 or 15 minutes before 8:30. Otherwise, we're pretty much good to go.
So we have about half an hour or so.
Half an hour.